imagine you being in an RV. Put yourself in their place. You're in an RV. You're a student. You got bills to pay. You're trying to make ends meet. You need to provide for yourself, your food, your, you know, everything else, essentials. And now there's a restriction that's going on. And that's your home. And you won't be able to move your vehicle because you're going to school, right? And work. So now you're getting a bunch of tickets that you cannot afford because you already have so many bills. They take your RV. Where do you go if all the shelters are full? We don't know.
It starts with just taking that leap.
Man, you have to work hard. You have to be incredibly smart.
Choose something that even if it fails, you are going to be proud of it.
Doesn't matter how badly you got beaten down.
Be kind, be kind, be kind.
Become a better person, a better leader, the better business.
Go with your gut. I'm Samuel Donner, and this is Finding Founders.
Put the other one up here.
These two.
Yeah, take that one. Hopeful.
San Francisco is one of the most expensive cities to live in the United States. Because of this, some families have turned to more affordable housing options like RVs. Juanita and the Coalition on Homelessness are dedicated to help fight for the RV community's place in the city as it keeps people housed and allows families to save money for the future. In our journey to the RV community, we dive into Juanita's past with homelessness, reveal the harsh realities of shelters, and learn about RV living.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
So Juanita, where are we going?
We are going to Winston Drive to do some outreach and pass out a flyer. We are having two important events. And going this way, excuse me. It's a little packed here right now.
I made it.
So
you gotta get mine.
Yeah, it's okay. I got it. Thank you. You're fine. It's just no way to pass. Okay, we're going this way to Leavenworth. Welcome to Leavenworth, San Francisco, California.
Thank you.
So that's Flo. Flo will be doing outreach with us and we'll be riding with her. Prefer back seat, front seat?
I can go back seat.
Because I know you're tall. My husband's tall, so he's like, oh, I'm squished.
Hello, hey, Flo.
Hello, Samuel.
I'm
Donner.
Sam.
Samuel.
Nice to meet you.
Hello.
Good to meet you.
Hello, hello.
And right here, they remodeled this park, so it's super nice.
It looks nice.
Really
yeah,
nice.
I saw they've been doing a bunch of remodeling around here.
Like, oh, yeah. There's a lot of construction going on. But also, a big thing is due to APEC. A lot is going on, so.
Like what's
going on with APEC? Construction. My husband's grandmother lives on 330 Clementina. Yeah. And she did not receive groceries this week.
Which she usually does?
Yes, every Wednesday.
Because she's in the blocked off area?
Yes. So
really?
She's a senior citizen.
Without access to the groceries that she needs.
Yeah, and because she's not able to be like too mobile on foot, like she can't stand for too long. Therefore, she can't go out and get her own food. Even on wheelchair, I asked them if it was ADA approved. They said yes, but as I seen a woman in a wheelchair with tubes stuck on her, I was scared the tube was gonna like unplug
right.
on her.
Yeah, no. I mean,
and so I felt like it wasn't wide enough. But yeah, I guess it was ADA approved, or I'm not sure. So I don't think when they planned this APEC thing, it was really thought through. There's a lot of people, U.S. Coast Guard, police.
But it was Secret Service.
Yeah.
They made the end choice.
Yeah.
Everybody else disagreed. Didn't matter. Secret Service would have their way.
I was going around the city late last night, and I saw like a 40-car motorcade. Like,
oh,
legitimately, I've never seen that many cars and bikes in a row.
So for me, it's intimidating. So
oh,
many cops.
Yeah.
It's so scary.
Where
is everyone being moved to? Because it's not like they're, I can't imagine that they've solved the homelessness issues in a week.
They haven't. So our team does certain outreach, human rights do outreach also. And they were focused on the APEC event because it was so last minute and nobody even knew. Like, nobody was aware, including myself, until, you know, learning from it at the coalition. I wasn't really aware, and like I ride bus sometimes. I didn't see no banners, nothing at all. So I'm like, I was like, what is this, you know?
And Javier got a phone call. No, actually, I'm sorry. A guy came in person to the office, and I don't really recall where he was located, but he said he had to leave his possessions just for a short time, you know, around an errand. And when he got back, they were all gone. And same with other people that were next to him.
Yeah, we've also heard, like, you know, they're just being pushed and moved with no resources given. So that's right.
Being pushed to? Like, where, when, just, like, APEC, like, when all these world leaders arrive, like, where?
They're just moving them. We don't know where.
You know, it seems to me that when you're on the street, and some of these people have been here for years, on the street, they know where there's some hiding places.
Yes. Because there's people that I've seen, again, I was born and raised in San Francisco, and there's a certain unhoused man, and I don't know if it is his name, but we call him Miguelito. Yeah. And he's always been like in the mission. Every time we see him, like, he's always there. So, like she said, maybe they know a hiding spot that they can go to or somewhere, but
You talked to anyone and be like, hey, like, where is everyone planning on going? Like, is there a word on the street?
Not really. They just, I guess, move around and, you know, because
Javi and I went to around, I think it was like 5th and 6th Street, where usually there's a lot of
encampments. I live between there. Yes, there is. So I live between 6th and 7th around Mission and Mina. There's always encampment around Mina, and especially, I forgot the cross, Russ. So Mina and Russ and Atoma, always a lot of encampment there. But lately, maybe because of the officers, not sure, SFMTA, they're all down there and redirecting everything. So again, I don't know if they're being pushed, but me and my husband, like, we're making a joke, like, oh, wow, like, now they finally clean, you know?
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be like that.
Is it like, you know, that a lot of people are saying, oh, like, the city, like, looks a lot better. Is this what it needed to clean San Francisco? But is this, like, is it actually sustainable?
Oh, no, it's not going to stay that way. No, the people are coming back.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But then
that's their community.
Yeah, and then another thing, though, like, as a community, I communicate with all the unhoused people.
Yeah.
And again, I live in an area where it's like a lot of unhoused people. I grew up humble and appreciating everything I have, small, big, whatever it is. So therefore, you know, I had bought Costco pizza, done some grocery shopping, and I know my kids are not gonna eat it no more. And I was like, you know, going out and looking for unhoused folks. But because of the APEC thing, everything was cleared out. So I was able to find like one in three people, but at least I was able to help some way and give food, give some clothes, and, you know, some beverages just so they can, I guess, sustain a little bit. But it's a lot going on in the world that needs some fixing.
And where we're heading right now
is Winston Drive. So Winston Drive.
It has really fancy RVs. Some of them have been worn over the years, but the city legislators are called supervisors.
Yeah.
Okay.
800 feet, turn left onto Central Avenue.
And the city supervisor for that district wants to get rid of them because she's got so much feedback from people who are in traditional houses. Can't stand the sight of these RVs.
Take the next left on the Central Avenue.
But it's not like they're hurting anyone. And in my opinion, it's like we could prevent homelessness, but the city chooses not to, in my opinion.
400 feet.
Why do you think they choose not to?
Because if we could extend the, you know, for them to implement that 4-hour parking restriction, a lot of the people who live in RV, they're really, you know, they're trying to make it to ends meet. They have kids to provide for, trying to work almost 9 to 5, and it's still, it's not affordable in SF. Realistically, to pay rent when you have kids, then you have to buy groceries, essentials, medicine. Who knows if a kid has, you know, glasses, needs, or just in general, a lot of bills. So for them, you know, it might work being in an RV till they get sustain themselves to be financially stable to provide more. But if they implement those 4 hours of the restriction, that means they would have to move their car constantly. And if I'm correct, it would be from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. And technically, they wouldn't be able to move their car if they're at work. Therefore, that causes them to get tickets. That bundles up, and they can't afford it. They take the RV. That's their home. Where do they go? We don't know, because there's a waiting list in the shelters. So we're going to SFMTA board meetings on November 21st. So hopefully our goal is to either extend their stay there or for them to provide housing or to find a safe parking spot before they implement those 4 hours restrictions.
So basically, like, relocating these people to somewhere and that is actually legitimate.
Yes. And I know a lot of people are like, this is not a permanent solution, and it's not. Some people don't want to, you know, live in RVs, but that's their only option, and it's way better than being in the streets. So a lot of people also think that a lot of homeless or unhoused people are voluntarily homeless, and it's not always like that.
Yeah, Holly was talking about the city has, like, designated voluntary and involuntary homeless.
They won't accommodate you most of the time. And I hate that they do that, because there's people that actually want the shelter, or woman escaping or man escaping DV. And it's like, oh, sorry, we have no space. So where do they go? They have to probably go back to that DV relationship or something.
Yeah.
I did experience homelessness. And a lot of people that do sometimes turn down the subsidies is not because they want to, but realistically, it took me half a year just to find a job when I moved from here to Sacramento. I didn't know nobody. I didn't have any family. I had nobody to take care of my son, really. And if me and my husband wanted to work, it's like, where do we leave our kid? Yeah. Who can we trust? You know, and I still at the moment didn't have a job. Again, it took me half a year just to get a job. I used to do Postmates here, but I wasn't able to out there because I didn't have a car, and, you know, from destination A to B, it was pretty far.
And so where did you go when you couldn't find, like, a job or a place to live? Like, what?
So with me, when I was homeless in San Francisco, I got a subsidy. That's how I ended up in Sacramento. A program was helping me pay, like, half of my rent or portion of my rent.
So you still had housing?
I had housing, yes, once I moved to Sacramento. First-time renter, renting my own space with my spouse and my first son. My son was, like, about 1 or 2 when we got our own space. And, you know, we continued with the program, and we were doing so good. I started working, like, after half a year when I found the job. I wasn't even getting paid minimum wage. I believe I was getting paid, like, 9-something. They had me working like a dog, and I say that because I went to work even sick. I worked in a hostile environment, and then I got fired. That's my story. And then me and my husband continued to pay the rent without the program. Landlords changed. There was a whole confusion. On the last month of my program, basically, I think it was like September or something, they did the last payment, but at that time they had switched landlords. The landlord kept saying, I didn't receive the rent. But then eventually the manager said she did, and I was relaxed. Then turns out she said she had lost it again because her system wasn't working there. Had to go put it and put it somewhere else, which didn't make sense to me. And basically the landlord or the property manager told me that either we can like pay the rent and move out or be evicted, but I knew that wasn't good for my background, like if I wanted to rent again. So we paid the money and we moved out. And I believe, again, we didn't know much about renting because it was our first time. And basically we got played, ended up homeless again. And turned out when I went to Hamilton Families, they were the ones to help me. I found out they cashed the check. So they did receive it, but I was homeless again.
So when you get kicked out, like, where do you go?
I didn't tell my parents I was homeless, basically. Nobody knew I was homeless, but I had to couch surf with my sister, sometimes with my husband's grandma, sometimes with my mother, and sometimes at shelters. And sometimes due to the pandemic happening, I saved the stimulus and I was able to rent hotels, but only for 14 days. And I had to travel with my son. And I was also pregnant. So yeah, we were like moving places, and it's an ugly feeling when you have a child and someone depending on you, but you can't provide something that you want to. Like, you know, so it's really difficult. And so I understand and I could empathize with unhoused people, and I've got to learn and to know unhoused people, not just judge. And a lot of people think that, oh, when someone is unhoused, they do drugs automatically, and that's not true. And if they do, it's like, have you even bothered to ask why, or like what made them start?
What are the reasons that people say like they're on the streets, and like what are the reasons or the ways that they say they could get off? Like what are the things
they need? So for me, like example, like for me, I was one of those where I didn't voluntarily become homeless. It was my first time renting. I didn't know much about that stuff. I mean, I still don't. Like I've gotten guidance through like certain people, but I've always had like some guidance. And again, I didn't voluntarily want to be homeless. I just didn't know much about renting, and boom, I lost my place. So that's my story. I involuntarily, you know, not voluntarily, became homeless. And there's people who sometimes lose their job, can't afford their rent by themselves, or let's say you're in a relationship, you guys break up, boom. Like, and if you don't have families, depending, I don't have too much of my family either, just my mom and my dad. People have disabilities, people have other issues. It just varies. So like I said, if people would get to know everyone, maybe they would hear and know why they are homeless or why they do drugs. A lot of people want to be treated like human. I mean, they are human, and a lot of people just treat them like they're not. Like I had witnessed, you know, I was at the bus stop waiting for the 14 on 6th and Mission. There was these two couples, they were tourists. You can totally tell. And of course there's an encampment, and there's this guy just like in his chair, just sitting down, not bugging nobody. And they were just giving them maybe like a hostile stare, that I can say. And again, like it's not a nice feeling, but when you treat them equally, then it's a different story, you know? You get to actually know them. You get to know a little bit more about them. But again, you could also, again, since I'm born and raised here, I can tell when someone sometimes is not from here. I can tell when they're afraid of you. Again, I've gone through a lot of racism myself. I've been on the bus where there's literally a seat. I don't harm nobody, but they don't want to sit next to me, you know? And maybe because I'm a lady of color. Everybody have a different experience. Maybe they lost a wife, a husband, child, family members, veterans. I see a lot of veterans that are unhoused and not taken good care of while they served our country.
Is there a certain experience that you see most often?
I've been hearing that there's a lot of families, either in tents, RVs.
Take the next left onto 20th
Couch
Avenue.
Surfing. So that's like a lot of families right now, I would say, are looking for shelter.
You think more than, no space. Than in the past?
More in the past.
It seems like the statistics are just going up and up and up, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Nationwide.
Yeah. Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
After talking about some of the housing difficulties families in San Francisco face, we arrived at Winston Drive where Juanita and Flo would start their outreach.
So how many RVs are there?
We're saying 48.
And are there multiple streets like this?
Some, I believe Lake Merced, I believe they cleared it out already.
Yeah.
But again, imagine you being in an RV. Put yourself in their place. Yeah. That's how I do it.
Yeah.
Put yourself in their, you know, their position. You're in an RV. You're a student. You got bills to pay. You're trying to make ends meet. You need to provide for yourself, your food, your, you know, everything else, essentials. And now there's a restriction that's going on. And that's your home. And you won't be able to move your vehicle because you're going to school, right? And work. So now you're getting a bunch of tickets that you cannot afford because you already have so many bills. They take your RV. Where do you go if all the shelters are full? Where do you go? We don't know,
right?
So then
a lot of these get towed too, yeah?
Yeah, so some people, it's a lot to afford.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know of anyone's home. So this is, we knock and.
Yeah.
Buenas noches. Me llamo Juana Ramos. Estoy con la coalición de desamparados. Quería ver si tenía un momento para hablar. And again, some of these workers are, again, working late. So we try to figure out the best hours for them. But sometimes they leave by like 7 in the morning or 8 p.m. until like after they Tuesday's street cleaning, move their vehicles, get the streets cleaned, then move it back and then head out to work. Then some workers don't come till like 5 or 6 p.m. So we try connecting with them, and our point of our outreach too is, you know, to see if we can also give more resources or to see if they're being helped with, because the city or HSH is supposed to be coming by. And so we kind of try doing the outreach just, you know, to also like inform them of like new updates and what's going on. So we gather a lot of things, try to make rallies to put pressure right now is to put pressure on the city again to either find safe parking or to provide housing,
right?
Which some, and because
and right now the safe parking is being taken away.
Yes, because for them just as safe. But I like I said, I understand both sides from being a student and living in an RV. I mean, to me, it wouldn't be a bother. I don't know why it is or why, but I think maybe they're trying to, from what I heard, a bike lane. But I feel like it's, you're choosing to put a bike lane and
over,
kick out families,
yeah.
You know? And I feel like a bike lane could wait, but what about the families?
Right.
You know, where are they gonna go? Hola, ¿hay alguien en casa? Mi nombre es Juana Ramos y estoy con la coalición de desamparados.
Oops.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I wanted to give you, it's right here.
Hey, how are you guys?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good, good. I think you remember me, Juana Ramos, con la colección Desamparados Flow. I just wanted to show you this because, well, this one's in Spanish. I know I didn't get to the Portuguese sign. So for November 21st at 1 p.m., there's going to be a SFMTA board meeting. I don't know if you remember it. I told you about it. But these are like the important dates that we want you guys to go to, basically, because hopefully we can get an extension for that date, because that's what we're fighting for you guys, is to get that extension. So if you guys can hopefully make it, and then I'm going to be passing more, but I know you are more connected with the neighbors. I don't know if they're here, right? Like, if everyone's here right now.
I know just the Brazilian guys here.
Okay. Do you know if they're home?
Yeah, I go just
because I love
here now.
Okay,
the other guys as close to the working.
Yeah,
they
work
now.
You know, at the September meeting, they said that by December 19th, you have to be gone, or live with 4-hour limit. You know, they're going to start the 4-hour.
The four inflammation. The 4-hour.
In December.
December
next
19.
Week. I mean next month. December 19th. So we're going to see if maybe they'll wait another 3 or 4 months.
Until they could find safe parking for you guys. So that's why I made this flyer, because these are the main important ones, like for the SFMTA board meeting. And then this one will be December 7th, and that's for the homelessness, right?
Yeah. Oversight.
Yeah. Oversight. Well, this one's in English. This one's in Spanish, but...
Sure.
So this is for the Homelessness Oversight Commission. That'll be December 7th at 9 a.m., room 416.
9 a.m. room 416.
Yes. Yeah. And these are the, for the SFMTA, we're basically asking them to extend it, meanwhile, until they find safe parking or provide housing for you guys.
Could I ask you some questions about, like, the biggest problems you face out here?
What do you mean about problems?
So, like, I mean, is one of the problems that they're talking about is, like, having to move the RV one time a week. So is there, like living out here, are there any problems that you face generally?
It's a, here is a good place to us because we have a community here.
Yeah.
So when anyone go to work and... others stay here to avoid any problem or anything about the
so, like, do other people
place.
like take care of, like, other people's kids and stuff?
Yeah,
and it's like, yeah,
yes, yes.
They look after one another, from what I'm
so we don't have problem with anything here. So I don't know why they so mad with us here. So we don't make any dirt.
Yeah, it's actually, like, really clean, like, you know, it's really clean over here
every day. Especially that guy, they I don't know how they come clean the sidewalks. Limpia the club.
They always clean the sidewalks.
We don't have we don't have any bad situations. The students we don't cause any problem here.
Who's trying to move you?
I think it's SFMTA, right?
They asked about the
housed people. They
complain. Do people over in these buildings ever complain about anything?
I guess no, because they change any they change the students. I don't know if any students stay here more than 6 months.
Right. So it's like, what do they even care?
Every 6 months is new students. So why don't have any?
I think it might be on the other side that they have issues.
I don't know how they say, because of the bike lanes. But in this street have bike lane.
Yeah.
Already have a bike lane here. So I don't know.
And
why.
They're saying the RVs are covering the bike lane.
No.
Is that what they're saying? Is that what they're saying?
I don't think there is.
Yeah, he have bike lane this side and the other side.
Oh, I see.
Oh, but it's not covering it.
But I mean, looking at your RV, I don't see it
going into the bike lane at all.
Yeah. Oh.
So. Like, look, there's plenty of room for the bikes. Yeah. So what's the issue?
I know it's the. I think the most issue they say this, but
there's no issue.
Look, there is no issue.
There's no issue.
I don't know, but.
Do you think if they knew, because like talking to you, you're just like a really, what was your name again?
Caio.
Yes. So like, I feel like maybe like these people in these buildings, they've like never even ventured to talk to any of the people in here.
No.
And like, it could just be a product of, I am scared of what I don't know or these people I don't know. Because I'm talking to you and you seem like a really, really nice guy.
I don't know why. Sometimes we help the guys here, you see, Lucy, I don't know where is it. Oh, it's the other side. Go to the other side. I already get a lot of rights for the students lost here. So,
so you're actually helping the community more than anything else.
I don't know why the issue was here.
The only other thing that I could think of is because people, like you said, Flo, is maybe the RVs because of their view, you know? But that's all. I can think of. But honestly, I don't think it'd bug me. Honestly, they don't make noise. Like, they're pretty quiet.
Yeah.
You guys are always tired by the time you guys come home. And I could tell you that he's a hard worker because you go to work from 5 a.m. and you come back till 6 p.m. or 5 p.m., correct?
What do you do for work?
Landscape, sometimes help anything.
Entrepreneur. Yeah.
Sometimes
Uber Eats, I remember.
Uber, Lyft. So when a friend help us, I'll use this. But I just came to RV to sleep. I don't stay here, just to sleep.
How much does it cost to like live out of your RV generally?
So sometimes I wish I'm pay a guy to take the black and gray waters to make clean, to not make any dirt in the streets or nothing like this, and put a clean water.
Yeah.
And we don't have so much cost to.
Yeah, I mean, I think
here.
That's.
Yeah. So I can't afford a rent here because it's very expensive.
Yeah, I mean, like how can you expect to live in any of these? Yeah. Like the cheapest rent is like $1,500 if you have roommates.
Not even.
Yeah.
Not even. And it's nothing like having your own space, and I could tell you that. So it's nothing like having your own space.
So. Yeah. So if they could find a place to us, a safe place to us to us park, so. Better idea for us.
If the city like offered you housing of some kind, would you take it or no?
So probably if no have any other thing they could help for us, so we have just this deal. Okay, we don't live against we don't live here against the city, and we just here to work, to live.
Yeah, sure.
To survive.
Yeah.
To survive.
Yeah, to survive. So we don't cause any problem to the city, just the where I say to the view.
The problem
issue is, I think, is the view.
So what if, I mean, like, is a solution could just be like, where can all of, like, if you can't park here, tell us where we can park.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
That's close by. Yeah, you can still like do the work that you need to do.
Yes. So I will appreciate the help of this.
Yeah, and I appreciate you talking to us. Thank you so much.
Hello.
Wonderful.
What are you looking for?
So I'm also the reason why I'm also doing outreach, because apparently RVs don't count as homeless, or we're trying to also get a real count on people or families who are in RVs. So we're trying to connect and see like how we can also, like, again, everybody has different needs and wants, and I'm pretty sure they would accept housing maybe if they had the opportunity. So I'm trying to see, like, I guess what, like, where people are right now, yeah. And you know, are they in their the one system? Can I help them out more?
Yeah.
Can I pass on the information to the person that will provide the resources? So,
a lot of people just don't know about the resources.
Yeah, and I was one of them. I didn't know much about resources until working with the Coalition on Homelessness. Then I figured out more. Then I started spreading the word out because, you know, if I didn't know about it, they probably didn't know about it either.
Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe, rate the podcast 5 stars, and share with a friend. If you have any questions or comments, DM us at Finding Founders Podcast on Instagram, LinkedIn, or Facebook. Finding Founders is produced and hosted by me, Samuel Donner.
Our audio editing team lead is Ashley Jimenez, with support from
Jessica Morales,
Miley Lipton,
Si Pan,
Kenny Ray,
Josie Yeo,
Matt Fernandez,
and Merritt Hill.
Our outreach and research team lead is Desiree Nunez, with support from
Marissa Granados,
Monica Lee,
Sarah Tiersma,
and Yao Liu.
To see more of what we're up to, subscribe to our newsletter at findingfounders.co. Thanks again for listening, and see you next week.